Well, hello there, hello there, hello there. And it's hard to believe we're here in our brand new studios in downtown Charlotte Harbor. And it is amazing. We have got all kinds of stuff going on. Thunderstorms, if you can hear that in the background. We got a brand new studio here. It's actually pretty cool. And this is Fish and Frank in the chair here. And the name of the show is Radio Fishing. And this is an area fishing report. And we've got Robert in the chair across from me. And we got Captain Kale in the alternate seat. Yes, it's all reds, greens, and blues around us. Big old storm. Gonna make it great to be sitting here working electronic equipment during this. But let's
now
it.
I don't
better
wanna,
than the hand in the shrimp tank.
Yeah, I don't want to get so close to the microphone now.
Yeah, well, I don't think you can ever get close to your microphone again. Kale wanted a windscreen, and we have found him.
I had to have a windscreen because the microphone keeps grabbing my mustache hair, and that hurts.
Well, if you're going to get that intimate with it, you've got to actually, stay away from it a little bit.
It's not right. That intimate. There's okay. Mustache hair.
Yes, but your mustache G-rating, is only about,
G-rating.
A quarter inch long. So, no intimacy with the microphones here, guys. All right, Robert, where are we going to start today?
Let's start in the Upper Harbor.
All right, we're going for the Upper Harbor.
It'll be quick.
Yeah. Okay, what part of the Upper Harbor are we going to start with?
Actually,
let's start up around
the bridges.
Yeah, even farther than that. We can go up all the way up the river like Navigator.
Let's start up by the Navigator. What's going on?
Whole lot of gar. We're catching a lot of snook underneath the bridges. The 17 bridges over the Shell Creek, the Sanssouci Trestle is doing very well for snook.
Yeah, but you also got a lot of rainwater pushing down.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's
Barb got that
up.
Big snook up there just a couple days ago, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That was 17 bridges.
You got all the crabs pushing down, all the...
What lure was she using there? Remember what she was using?
Yeah, she was using that Berkeley swim bait.
Oh, the little Berkeley swim baits, the power baits?
Yeah, I think
3-inch
or
the 4?
I think it was the 4-inch.
Okay. So score one snook for the Berkeley power baits, swim baits. Now, Robert, you're saying we got crabs flushing down the river, bait flushing down?
Yeah, all the bait fish are flowing down because the river's flowing so hard that it's pushing literally every little tiny freshwater fish and saltwater fish out of there. So you've got fish that are kind of following that tide line a little bit. As that water comes in, you'll actually get a little bit of backup buildup between the river coming out and the tide pushing in.
Yeah.
And that kind of concentrates some of the different varieties of bait fish. So those are a good kind of area to look for. The problem is that it moves all the time, depending on your tide and the water flow.
So, Kale, your take?
He's dead on. Any of your deeper holes in the river are going to naturally hold that stuff that's getting flushed down. The bridges, always a good place. 75 bridge, still full of big black drum.
Okay, how about the tarpon that were there so long? What happened with the tarpon?
The tarpon have moved. I'm really surprised that they lasted as long as they did there. 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks was pretty good for tarpon to stay in one spot outside of Boca Grande Pass.
You were doing 2 out of 3 trips doing well with tarpon out
there. Yeah, we were
doing
real well.
Pretty damn good average.
They've moved. They haven't gone far. They're sitting at the 41 bridge to Colony Point in the morning now. So they haven't moved far.
Okay, well, we're going to stay with that. We're down around 41. What's going on with 41?
You're seeing some snapper at 41 Bridge, especially at that little clump of rubble in between the power lines and Lashley Fishing Pier.
Right.
A lot of snapper in there. We're seeing a lot of snook and tarpon at night at the 41 Bridge.
Yeah, the night fishing's been really good
phenomenal.
On them.
And I think this is going to be the perfect week to hit them. We've got really, really strong outgoing tides from mid-afternoon to evening, and it only gets better as the week progresses.
The weird part is that it's like a hill tide with how drastic it is,
yeah,
and
it's
not a full
tides.
Moon or a new moon. I mean, we're right in between coming off of the full moon, and it is a 2 to 2.5 foot tide in 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
It's
pretty
significant this week.
Thursday or Friday, that tide switching about 7, 8 p.m., run until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and that's prime time to get out there and hit snook and tarpon.
Yeah. So, anyway, that goes down to 41. Now, you were talking about the tarpon going from 41 up around, I'm going to assume, Fishville and then getting over Colony Point. Sure. What's going on in PGI canals?
Quite a bit, actually. Lots and lots of jacks inside PGI.
I've been hearing. A couple of guys came in and said, oh, man, we hit some monster jacks. And I'm thinking, they didn't say where, but the first thing out of my head was PGI canal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of shark, big bull shark. Big black tips.
In the canals?
In the canals. Lots of Spanish mackerel still in the canals.
Yep. Lots or a few?
Now, wait a minute. Are you using illicit drugs that crackle when you smoke them?
Nope, not at all.
They're also catching sheep's head in there by the bucket full.
Well, they are.
Yeah, they are.
I'm sorry. I'm calling the BS on that one. Oh, my. I'm sorry. Just because you have one banner person catches a couple, it doesn't constitute there being a whole bunch of fish in there.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry,
we're gonna have to figure this out. We're gonna have to go there and try it. We're gonna have to go there and try it. See if Captain Kale is on the ball.
Oh, if he'd fish with me, I'd prove him wrong.
Yeah.
Because sheep's head are high on my list of fish to go catch.
They're high on mine.
Okay, the both of you are high. I don't care what you say. All right. Now, getting back into the PGI Canal, we have a possible Captain Kale saying mackerel, shark, and sheephead, and Robert going, I don't think. So, Robert, what's your story in the PGI Canals?
There's a lot of snook and a lot of juvenile tarpon all over the place in there, especially at the lights at night. But even during the daytime, the juvenile tarpon are all over scattered in there. The typical places, Bass Inlet, the Turnaround Basin, and Colony Point seem to have the best numbers of small tarpon. And, I mean, small, like up to 60 pounds. There's a few oddball pigs in there, but majority of them are in that, like, 15 to 30-pound range.
Any of your big, deep basins in PGI are going to hold them.
There's also been a lot of nice mangrove snapper in there. The only place that's been really super quiet, and we've been saying this pretty much all year, is Ponce.
What happened to Ponce de Leon? Is usually the best place to go.
Well, the one thing that I noticed about Ponce is that the snook never really stacked up on the outside like they usually do.
The mangrove snapper, the black drum? You always hear some redfish being caught there. The spade fish are usually in there really good this time of year.
It's dead quiet. I don't know if it's
exceptionally quiet all winter long, even with the trout that are usually popping in and out of there this winter. They just never really did. So it's
no, and I never did odd. As well on sheephead this past winter as I usually do in there.
Well, and the trout and the sheep's head usually stack up in the rocks right there where it opens up into the houses at the
Rim Canal.
Rim Canal.
So,
you know, it never really did good. It's just been an odd year for the...
Yeah, because Ponce is usually given. Okay, yeah. You know, you want to keep a kid happy, take him to Ponce, bag of frozen shrimp, catch a bunch of snappers and stuff.
Exactly.
So swinging around the corner, how's it doing from Alligator Creek down the east side?
I think... We're going to start seeing those tarpon piling in there here pretty soon.
They already started to. Yesterday,
are we talking about?
Yesterday they dumped into the 20-foot holes really good.
I was talking about the east side.
No, I know, but he was segueing on the tarpon moving up there.
Okay, but don't do that. I get confused. This is purposely mess with Frank Day?
He was segueing. I was saying below the point there.
Front of Alligator Creek.
Right in front of Alligator Creek, they're always going to pile up in there. You get that big whirlpool from the incoming tide, it holds that bait in there, and the tarpon go there because there's food.
Now, I'm going to go with him on that. They used to, the Hurricane Charlie, that day, Friday the 13th, that's exactly where I was catching tarpon. August 13th, 2004, I was sitting right in front of Alligator Creek I was doing a charter, and I had people there catching tarpon that morning.
They're there. There's been a few rolling here and there on top of the reef.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they're done with their breeding and they're looking forward to eating, they're going to come in.
Okay, but going down the east side, what's happening back around the Mangrove Islands, the Keys on the east side?
Crickets.
Crickets, yeah. I'll agree with them on that. It doesn't start to get good until you start hitting Pirate Harbor.
At least.
And that's mainly for like mangrove snapper, a few oddball snook, and a few oddball redfish, but you're going to really work hard at finding them.
You have to work for the reds there. You're bouncing from island to island to island hoping for the best. You may pull one or two decent reds out of there.
We're going out to the sandbar on the east side. What's going on the bar?
On the outside of the bar, there's been some silver trout, especially right there in front of Pirate Harbor all the way down past Burnt Store. a few oddball spotted trout, incidental cobia, but most of them have been on the smaller side. Lots and lots of little sharks too in that little 6 to 8 foot of water range. Other than that, it's been thread fins and white bait kind of scattered up and down there. That's what most of the guys are doing, hitting Pirate Harbor, getting their white bait, and then running way south to go find other fish.
Way south.
Yeah. All right. So we're down around Burnt Store, going down to Two Pines. Anything in that area?
Still about the same. It's a little sporadically slow. The incoming tide seems to turn the fish on, and I think it's because of, the way the water flows in there. It's a little cooler, a little higher salinity. But the redfish and the snook that are usually scattered on that bar all the way to the mangroves from south of Burnt Store all the way down around the corner, it's been real incidental. There are some tarpon hanging out there.
I know what
in
I'm,
between Burnt Store and Boquilla.
I finally figured out what I'm missing. My jar of honey, all that stuff I usually have during the show, it's all gone. I'm sitting here, everything's bare.
It's an empty desk. You got a clean slate to start with.
Yeah, I got an empty desk, but I'm missing all the, I have the essentials. Gave me that beer bottle with the honey in it from Costa Rica, and I've been using local honey, keeping it full, and I usually sip on that honey the whole time I'm doing the show and stuff. I'm going crazy here. I don't have my stuff. Where's my old desk?
No, you can't have it.
This is a beautiful setup. We really have new. We're going to be having interviews with captains on the water. Captain Kale actually figured out how to get our phone system hooked up today, and
we got all new equipment.
Everything's all brandy new.
Brand new mixers, brand new call-in boxes.
Oh yeah, we got all kinds of cool stuff. You're going to hear some really cool radio fishing. We've been putting a lot of time, effort, and money into upgrading, but I'm missing all my cool little toys, all the stuff I had for the show. So anyway, going back, I don't remember where we were. I think it was around Burnt Store, Two Pines.
Yeah, yep. Burnt Store.
Okay, let's hit Matt Lachey and work down towards that way.
Matt Lachey's got a lot of nice mangrove snapper on it still and some good spade fish. They've been kind of in and out there, but they have been there pretty consistently. Oddball redfish.
Even the redfish, which were strong even a week ago in Matt Lachey, have started to move out.
Yeah.
Really?
And everything seems to be incidental
catches. Incidental catches only on the redfish down there. From Matt Lachey down to the Indian Fields, it's just incidental catches. There's been some quality fish down there.
Now, Coosahatchee's full of big snook. I don't know what else it's got in it, but I know there's some big snook down there, but I haven't heard of anything else. A guy came in
right at the mouth or going up inside?
Up by the railroad trestle, the bridges and all that. I haven't heard of any tarpon, but I'm assuming 41, the trestles, the Cape Coral bridges, all should have good tarpon on
them
right now.
They should.
Got a bunch of big snook there, and I'm sure there's other stuff there, but I have no idea. Haven't heard a thing.
That's the only thing I've heard of is a few incidental tarpon and the few incidental snook. I haven't heard of great numbers of either one of them personally, but
been hearing some pretty good numbers down there. Going down to Ponarasa at the south end of Sanibel, how are we doing there?
Now, those docks have got some snook and redfish on
them. That's where you're starting to finally see the redfish is around the Sanibel area, our southern intercoastal.
St. James City there. All those islands on both sides, just like right around that horseshoe there on the bottom of St. James City has just got a lot of redfish and snook and all the bushes and those deep, deep troughs that are around them.
A lot of food, better water quality. Not that our water's bad or polluted or anything. It's just cooler and saltier.
Saltier water down there. The more you get to the Gulf, I think it's going to be a little bit better right now. Yeah. It's hot.
I mean, it's really hot.
That's the problem.
What I feel really good about? I'm looking at the special heat indexes, 115, 112, 101 degrees.
Yeah.
All these super heat advisories, and there's not one of them in Florida. We are cooler. I mean, you go to Montana, Illinois. I mean, all over the whole country is three digits heat. And I keep trying to tell everybody, we're not as cold in the winter, but we're not as hot in the summer.
Right, right.
It's simple. I mean, the further north you get from us, the hotter it gets.
It's that whole polar vortex thing, I think. Back again this year.
That and El Nino and, the super tropical cyclone typhoons that screwed up with the weather pattern. But
I'm going to go with living on a peninsula and have cold water on both sides of us.
Yeah, that, and we're closer to the equator. Closer you are to the equator, it's Al Gore's fault. But, the closer you are to the equator, the more temperate the climate.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. It's more steady.
Yeah, because Costa Rica, it goes from, it only varies 20 degrees all year.
Yeah.
you know, 10 or 20 degrees, I guess. But we just don't get as hot down here. So, yay, Southwest Florida. We rock. All right. Yes, we want, you know, I don't have anything to do with the climate, except I was smart enough to live in it.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, the other part of this aspect is unfortunately, this is going to be pretty much a similar pattern for, what, probably about the next 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, you're going to have some minor changes with a few species of fish, but for the next 6 to 8 weeks, all of your better fishing is going to be out there on the along the barrier islands of the intercoastal and the beaches for any species you're kind of wanting to target, even the oddball ones like sheephead and trout.
So if you're walking up the beaches from along Sanibel or whatever, what would you, if you're just casting out, what are you going to catch walking the beaches?
I'm going to throw a little pompano jig or one of those banana jigs and just work everything, because the snook, the pompano, the whiting, oddball redfish, ladyfish, all that stuff is going to eat them.
So how far north along the islands are you going to expect to catch that?
All the way up to
Sanibel, Captiva.
All the way up to Venice.
So you're talking Sanibel, Captiva, Cayo Costa, Gasparilla.
Boca Grande will slow down just a little bit on the north end of Cayo Costa.
Yeah.
And Little Gasparilla will slow down a little bit just on the north end of Boca Grande, because of the amount of fresh water that pours out of Charlotte Harbor. So you'll have kind of a little slower area because of all that fresh water pouring out.
And once you get north of Little Gasparilla and Stump Pass, it picks back up again.
Picks back up again because you don't have as much fresh water exchange going out of there.
Gotcha.
That can sometimes play on the opposite too, though, because you've got so much high salt concentration around those passes that if you fish the edges of that dark water where it starts to clean up a little bit, creates a whole lot of nutrients. So sometimes you'll have your fish hang out there, but it'll fluctuate there again with the tide, just like Kale was talking about with up on the river, backing up and stuff. It'll do the same thing at those passes. So those fish will sometimes concentrate along the edges there, and it can create a pretty good feeding frenzy. Last year we were out there just literally a half a mile south of Little Gasparilla Pass, and the greenbacks, the Spanish sardines, and the threadfins were balled up along that edge. There was bonita, Spanish mackerel, and the black tips were just in a feeding frenzy that was crazy. So that could happen at any one of the passes again.
Okay. Now, one thing around out in the Gulf, been the big hit this year. I'm not really sure why so much more this year than other years, but it really has been true that no matter what you're going for, the sharks have been the big I think the biggest or the most sought after fish of this year. So where are we going to find sharks right now?
I think if you want quality sharks, you've got to go offshore. It has been a very, very slow year in the harbor for big sharks. There hasn't been a whole lot of food for them in here. The Spanish mackerel came in and then moved into the canals. There's still not a whole lot out there for them to eat. We're doing decent in the deep holes, but most of them are smaller sharks. You're probably not going to break the 5-foot mark out there. You may get your one straggler, lemon, or bull, or a big black tip, maybe on the outside chance a hammer, but most of your bigger sharks are going to be close to shore in the Gulf.
Okay.
There's just more food for them out there.
So A lot of sharks on the beach.
I'll let a secret out.
Go ahead.
That's been happening forever. It's always been that way with the sharks offshore. Every summer in July, those sharks are big time out there because they follow the tarpon out in that June full moon, and a lot of times they end up staying out there because the bonita have started to move in closer, and they actually follow those schools of bonita out there. Every summer for, I don't know, the last 12 or 14 years, I've been fishing them out there in the Gulf and chasing. You're literally running and gunning after the schools of bonita. I think it's just now becoming a little bit more known to people in the last 2 years why they've been going offshore catching those bigger sharks.
Well, you secretive son of a gun. Now, wait a minute. I'm sitting here. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. Your friend.
You and I have talked about it many times.
You haven't even told me about this.
You and I have talked about it many times.
Kale, should we even talk to him? Should I just turn his mic off and ignore him?
Yeah. Okay. There's no such thing as a secret spot.
Yeah, you know. Okay, but, you know, here I was feeling pretty good about everything, and Robert's going, well, I'll tell you a secret. Yeah, thanks, buddy. I'm telling you, I'm feeling a little let down over here.
Might have to mute my mic.
Yeah.
5-second delay.
Beep, 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 beep. Okay. Anyway, well, Robert, you beeping, beep, 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 beep. Okay, and beep, beep, Robert, beep, and we're going to, okay, Robert, let's get back to that. But we're going along in the Gulf. And what's going on besides sharks in the Gulf, Mr. Secret Spot?
Bonita, blackfin tuna.
Yeah, lots of blackfin tuna.
Within 15 miles. I mean, some of them are even as close as 3 miles out.
Further than you can walk, but not further than you can ride.
Yep, exactly. A lot farther than I can swim.
Farther than I can walk, farther than I can swim, yep. Yeah, I've got some great beachfront property for y'all. It's 3 miles west of Gasparilla Island. It's guaranteed saltwater property, saltwater front. Well, maybe saltwater top, but I'll give you a good price on it.
Exactly.
I sure will. Exactly. Anyway, and the snapper fishing on this property has actually been pretty good lately.
Been phenomenal. That's another thing we missed on the passes, too, as we were coming up the beaches. The snapper and Boca Grande, Little Gasparilla, and Captiva Pass have been phenomenal still. And okay. I guess it's because there's just not that much fresh water pushing them out, but it also has been kind of the year of the snapper.
Yeah, it's been amazing on mangrove snappers. Mike was down, I'll get to that when we get to the spot. Remind me about Mike and his fishing.
Okay.
But going up through, let's say, Lemon Bay.
Well, let's finish the Gulf real quick.
Okay.
Because the snapper on the nearshore reefs from 3 to 15 miles is incredible. There's been a few incidental kings out there, not many to really target, but if you're anchored up or drifting, it's worth being out there looking for them. The gag grouper bite has been very sporadic. It's been a very odd gag grouper season, basically. Yeah. You know, the red grouper seem to be doing better than the gag grouper, but you have to go out a little farther for consistent, bigger reds there.
Yeah, we had some amazing gag grouper fishing in the harbor here for a little while, and then it kind of backed down.
Well, we also only have a small population of gag grouper, and I don't think it holds enough fish in each spot. We've talked about it many times out in the Gulf of finding your own secret little spot. And if you've got a ledge that's only 50 feet long, it may only hold 10 legal grouper on it at any given time. And if you whack it and take 2 or 3 fish, you come back there every week. It takes a while for them to get back into that spot for those nomad grouper to come back in and find it, or for the smaller, you know, that 20 or 21 incher to grow that extra half an inch to make legal size.
Okay, so anyway, going up around Lemon Bay.
Been some good sharks off the beaches there. Lots and lots of snook. Was that a pucker from the lemon?
I'm not sure what the heck that was.
I'm going to say that was a pucker from the lemon.
I think that was tart. Yes.
It's either that or we got to open a window.
Nice. There's been some really nice whiting. Not very good numbers of them, but there have been some better quality ones there. The snook, though, have been unbelievable. And then there's been some really big redfish cruising through the pass at night.
A lot of juvenile tarpon in Lemon Bay.
That's just
too.
How I feel about that. I think I'm bombing here. I can't get it together. I don't know. I'm just not feeling it. So, anyway, whiting up there at Lemon Bay along the beaches.
Mm-hmm. The snook, the redfish.
Maybe I put my other earphone on. That'll help.
Juvenile tarpon, like Kale's saying. There's been some adult tarpon. There's still a lot of tarpon cruising the beaches. But they're literally from Venice down to Sanibel, and finding the heavier concentration, you're just running and gunning and looking for them.
And once you land them, what do?
Kiss them.
Yep.
Give them a big kiss on their lip.
I had to play today. I got a new board. Okay. That's
good stuff.
Yes. It'll get better.
The snapper bite inside Lemon Bay or in Stump Pass has been pretty much null and void, but some of those docks that are closer to the pass have been holding some nicer mangrove snapper. And then real close to the passes in the deeper grasses, there's been a few trout. Not something that you can really target, but they've been incidental catches and pretty good. The Tom Adams Bridge at night has got a lot of nice snook on it. Some really big ladyfish have moved in there. And then right there at the bridge, there's been tarpon there at night also.
Okay. So coming up around Placido, what we got going on?
Placido's been weird this week.
It has.
The mangrove snapper and spade fish is about what I've heard of consistently besides the snook at night. Last week there was blue runners, there was jacks, there was a variety, but this week's been kind of...
A lot of people that I've talked to have been having no trouble finding the snook during the daytime. They've been having such a hard time getting them to eat. during the daytime.
Daytime's always a little tricky with snook anyway, out on the beaches and around those docks. They see too much traffic at certain times for some reason. Plus, we came off that super moon. That might be part of playing a role in how the trestle and all the area has been working out.
You know, it's just kind of funny because they're still catching a lot of big snook right along the beaches. Right. I mean, if you go out along the Barrier Islands, get on the beach, and really from Venice all the way down through to Estero, there's a lot of big snook. And then
even on the other coast, too. And I mean, Sean at American Fishing Wire, did I show you that picture?
They should be moving, you know, they should have been moved off the beach and done breeding by now.
But now, then you look at them, and what brought it to mind, I was just cruising down on Facebook, some of the pictures and stuff. I see Barb with this beautiful snook there, and it's all black, and it's got some, a little bit of coppery, still a white belly, but really dark, menacing-looking fish. And then you look up at the ones that are caught along the beaches, and it's all silvers and grays and
bright yellow tails.
Yeah, bright yellow fins, and they got kind of that light green back. There's no, the only thing really black on a Gulf snook is that stripe. And the rest of it's all, you know, all these beautiful light colors.
I don't care what fish it is. It looks better when it comes out of the river.
Well, it's going to be
dark. Just because it looks different. You know, the tarpon come up gold, the snook come up dark, the redfish come up that deep, deep copper color. The snapper upriver, absolutely gorgeous.
I love the trout
bellies,
out there on
black
the river.
Bellies, brown backs, real brown back, bright red belly, big black slash across the eye. You get the same fish out of the Gulf of Mexico, not one
it's
drop
silver.
Of color.
It's silver.
Basically gray, silver gray. So anyway, I just happened to notice that I was looking, and
main thing everyone's got to realize with the snook out there is that water temperature is, 92 degrees?
Yeah.
They need to really take the time to resuscitate those fish because snook is already exhausted from its final spawn, theoretically, in July.
Yeah.
They're very weak, even though they're going to put up a phenomenal battle. Oxygen level's low in the water, so no matter where you're catching them at, you got to take an extra couple seconds.
I'm going to go along with kind of their weak, but not so much during before the fight because they're sitting there and they've got everything they need. But the extra exertion of the fight is more taxing because once they're done with it, there's not huge amounts of oxygen in the water. It's a little bit lower oxygen level, so it does take them longer to go. Joel Mischoff, they've got a monster redfish, big oversized, looks probably 30, 34 inches. They caught out on the beach, and they're doing, like I say, I just happened to be noticed that Sean Allen got a really nice snook out. It looks, I'm going to guess it's somewhere around Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, big snook. But there's some really nice fish. Mallory and her husband Andrew catching some nice smaller snook down there along the beaches.
And now's the time to watch for those big redfish. Our next full moon, they're going to start dumping into the harbor.
I don't know. It almost seems like it's just a touch early for that, but I could be wrong. Robert, I usually think October, November.
Full moon in August to the full moon in October.
Yeah.
Jeez, the building is shaking with the thunder. Well, it reminds me of being at ICAST. We were up at ICAST, but we'll get into that on another show. But the thunder shaking that building was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that was terrifying.
The Orange County Convention Center. When you're shaking the building in the Orange County Convention Center, that's some lightning.
Yeah, you've done something impressive.
And Chris,
those big redfish. Go ahead, sorry.
Chris Foley, he's got a real beautiful snook out on the beaches. He just... calling it a slab. Looking at it, I'm going to say about 33, 34 inches. Beautiful fish he got. Looks like a star rod with a pen bottle reel on it. I could be wrong. It's hard to tell. You know, I'm looking at these pictures. I believe that's what it is. I mean, it should be that. That's the best thing to catch them on. So,
those bigger redfish are weird out there along those passes and the beaches. They move in a lot at night. So they're hanging out near shore but offshore. And they move in heavy at night because we used to go out to the phosphate dock and fish it at night for the snook, and it was not unusual to catch redfish up in the upper 30s on a pretty regular basis. But it where they go during the daytime, I'm gonna have to say that most of the time they're running off to those nearshore reefs or that 7 mile ledge somewhere out in there and hanging out, and they move back and forth pretty regularly, and that's those big ones that are gonna school up and then dump into the harbor you know, in another month and a half or whatever.
Now, coming around, we were at Placida talking about that. Along the backside of Gasparilla, we got a lot of snook, a few jacks, some redfish. What's going on over in the Tailing Flats, which is the area from Placida on the eastern side from Placida out to Devilfish? That's what we call the Tailing Flats along through there, encompassing Devilfish, Sandfly Key, and all that back to shallow areas. How's it going there?
There's nothing tailing out there.
Nothing tailing out there.
Maybe a few mullet.
Yeah. There's been a few sharks over there, mainly closer to the intercoastal itself. You got a lot of varieties of little sharks and a few bigger ones. The snook have virtually moved out of those back canals like Catfish and Widden and all that. They've kind of moved out a little bit, same way with the redfish. They've been getting a few incidental trout, some mangrove snapper. Other than that, it's been kind of very hit or miss over there.
Well, I'd head out to, one of the things people forget is you can fish in the Gulf like at Novak, Tremblay, Jeff Steele, and they're very, very, I mean, a mile and a half, 3 miles out, yeah. 5 miles out. And
Jeff Steele's a lot farther than that, though.
Yeah,
you
but
got the Novak,
Novak and Tremblay are right
Novak,
there.
Novak, Tremblay,
and
Helens,
there's
and
lane snappers,
Mary's.
Porgies. The lane snapper bite has actually been pretty good.
Bart told me he caught a mutton snapper the other day when he was just offshore. He's in 55 feet of water, so he's out a little further,
yeah.
But to catch a mutton in that close is a little on the unusual side.
But gag grouper still there, a few barracuda out there, just those near shore, near shore. So
right.
You don't have to run a long ways out. You don't have
Not
to be
all.
Afraid to, okay, I got to go out 15, 20, 30 miles. You can actually get out some of these real close reefs and lots of lane snapper. I just saw pictures here on Facebook from porgies, lane snappers, mangrove snappers, and they were all near shore. So that's actually pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Anyway, coming back around, let's go into Bull Bay.
Bull Bay's been quiet unless you're fishing both entrances. The main entrances right there have been a little bit more productive on some big mangrove snapper, a few snook, a few oddball redfish. Up inside, though, I'm only hearing of an oddball redfish and snook. The guys are really, really working at it to find anything up inside there.
Kale, you got anything on Turtle Bay?
Exactly what Robert said. It's not on my top of my list of places to fish right now. It's been very sporadic.
Okay, so what's the opinion of Cape Hayes then?
Well, I think a couple reasons for that too is the reason why we're not hearing as many reports up in there is because it's at that wicked time of the year where the wind is virtually stopping at like noon. And anyone that's up in there in Bull and Turtle Bay, it's just exhausting because even if there's a whisper of a breeze, you're not going to feel it back in there.
No.
And
it's
I think the guys are just concentrating on staying on the outside just because they know they stand a little bit better chance with the fish, but they also aren't going to die from heat exhaustion as quickly.
All right. So what are we talking about for as far as Cape Hayes? If Bull and Turtle are a little weak, how's Cape Hayes Bar?
The main drop-off has been really, really good. The up on top of the flats seems to have slowed down a little bit, and I think it's because of not just the heat, but the flush of fresh water coming down, too, always builds up right on top of that. But on the drop-off side, where the main going into the main entrance into Turtle Bay, the fish seem to have moved off the flat and are hanging on that edge of that drop-off. Been some spade fish, some mangrove snapper, a lot of miscellaneous small sharks. As you get a little bit closer towards the entrance of Turtle Bay there's been a few redfish, oddball trout, a few pompano kind of mixed in there. But I think it varies from day to day with a very good, strong incoming tide has seemed to be the difference of getting that freshwater saltwater mix, because that's kind of that imaginary boundary line that goes across the harbor from Cape Hayes over towards Burnt Store that gets that massive mixture of fresh and saltwater together on top of being a little bit cooler, but it's nutrient rich.
I take you agree with that, Cal?
Yeah, absolutely. You'll see it on an incoming tide. Go over to Burnt Store, the water's clear. Go over to Cape Hayes and it's dark and murky and you've got 2 inches of visibility.
All right.
Yeah, that's
now,
where you're seeing that stirring of the water.
So coming up, though, the west wall, we've got all the creeks and the flats, the bar. What's going on out there?
The creeks are your best bet. There hasn't been a whole lot out on the bars. There's been a school of jacks here or there cruising up and down. I've had better luck up inside the creeks, the mouth of those creeks, catching that water that's just a few degrees cooler.
Robert's got one eyebrow up, so I'm assuming he's disagreeing with that.
No, I'm not 100% convinced. I can't argue with him on it. I know that time of year, it's one day really horrible, and the next day can be pretty good. It's never phenomenal.
No, oh no.
But you hear it from him, you hear it from Carl, and I know they fish all those creeks a lot. And my experience, personally, every time I've gone over this time of year, I suck. but I also am not very good at fishing the bushes anyway.
And when I say doing
blind better, guy against the bushes, there you go. That's
a great idea. Combination.
And when I say doing better in the creeks, I'm saying I'm catching two or three redfish in the creeks opposed to catching nothing,
right,
you know, out on the wall. It's
right.
Not phenomenal by any means.
Right, and I'll agree with that. The one thing I'll say, though, that out on the bar, though, especially as you get just off the bar, there has been quite a few mixture of sharks and tarpon and some undersized cobia. Not any good numbers and not, like, targetable, but they are incidental catches while the guys are tarpon fishing and shark fishing. I have heard the only one thing that I have heard good about over there is the catfish seem to have slowed down just a little bit. Not much. I mean, they're still pretty horrible out there, but I'm hearing fewer and fewer reports of alls we caught were hundreds
of
catfish.
Complaints.
Same
thing. We're hearing less complaints.
Yeah. You know, less complaints. They're either getting used to it or it's backed off a little bit.
I am on the side of the catfish. A great fight.
I am too.
They hit.
They're
fun to haul in. I mean, if you got light tackle, it's a great fish. Yeah, it's a little slimy when you get up, but get a fish gripper and, you know, grab the fish and don't have to touch them.
And they're underrated for food. I mean, a sail cat is way underrated for food.
Okay, cleanest meat in the harbor.
You know, everyone complains about
it. The cleanest saltwater meat of any saltwater fish has got to be sail cat. Epidermal layers, they got the biggest epidermal layer of any fish.
Yep.
The more slime, the less bacteria can get through it. So if you're looking for the cleanest, you know, healthier meat, it's obviously got to be catfish.
Well, and plus this time of year, they're feeding so heavy on the thread fins and the white bait and the glass minnows out there that it is flushing out their system a little bit. I think earlier in the season, they're kind of scavenging, eating crabs and crap off the bottom. This time of year, they're suspended out there all over in that water column, chasing
food.
All sorts of just really good quality.
I'm not sure how that's going to affect the flavor. I think that might lessen the flavor to me.
Every last one that you pull in looks like it swallowed a softball.
Yeah, they're just pigs of the water. I mean, you can't deny they're a vivacious eater.
What do you have, dictionary.com open?
Yes.
Nice.
So, they're not zoftic, but they are vicious.
Wow.
Okay. So, anyway, I just want to make
been
the distinction.
Saving that in his pocket.
I just want to make the distinction here. So, anyway,
that's
we're going up the
West
Wall.
That's why he got in so late. He was up home looking up words today.
I was at a casino. The heck with all that. I was drinking at a casino. Hey, I'm 56. I'm allowed to drink. It's illegal. You know, I had a shuttle back to the hotel room. No drinking and driving, just drinking and goofing off, having a good time.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, every once in a while you
work hard for
that.
You're supposed to be able to go and play once in a while.
So, anyway, we're up, going up the West
what
Wall.
What was he playing, Scrabble?
Yeah.
Bingo.
Bingo.
We don't make words in bingo.
No, you do Scrabble. Actually, I think they have a Scrabble game. Yeah, I think that's actually something you could play. I would lose. I have four big words that I save up.
I memorize them.
I they're just, you never get that Z when you
didn't
want.
Didn't George Carlin warn us about those?
Yeah. Nice.
So, anyway, back up Eljamine, Myakka River. Anything going on the mouth of Myakka River?
We were fishing in there the other day. Lots of catfish. And that's where all the catfish from down below have moved. That's up into the mouth. Chumming up, throw out a chum block. You're going to bring small black tips to the shark or to the boat. Little 1.5 foot guys. They're going to come to the boat almost instantaneously. Get some light tackle, pitch some chunk bait to them. Have a blast.
Well, and
there's been some incidental tarpon too there from right at the mouth going all the way up to Eljamine during the daytime. You know, so keep your eyes open looking for either rolling fish or free jumping fish because the thread fins have been kind of moving around, and so has there been some white bait also. Not too much on the glass minnow aspect up there, but there's definitely been a few fish moving around up all through there. Incidental cobia too, but the night fishing at Eljamine has been pretty good.
Well, even the day fishing at Eljamine's been doing well. They've been doing well on mangrove snapper, big Goliath grouper. Well, I've heard a few reports of redfish, not a whole lot, but a few.
Nice. Nice.
Gotta get a cat.
Night fishing has been really good on the mangrove snapper. Just like he said, with the day fishing and the night fishing, both have been you know, the mangrove snapper. It slowed down for a little while there where we weren't getting much reports, but now it seems to have picked back up there. A lot of big snook up there. Tarpon are all over the bridges at night there. It's been pretty darn good. And then moving down towards Tippy Canoe, it's been quiet. There's been a few tarpon up on the flats and a few oddball redfish and snook, but it's been, you're working a lot for minimal return over there.
Yeah, you're going to put some effort into it. Yeah. That's all there is to it. There's just no way you're going to go out there and just, okay. It's right now, it's better to be lucky than good if you're up in there. But Aljamain is probably your best bet. But
if you want to stay close to home, absolutely.
Yeah, Aljamain is probably your best bet right now. Lots of structure, lots of cool shade. You've got the trestles and both bridges providing a tremendous amount of shade. And that right now gets to be important during the day. Shade is actually the big thing.
Well, but coming around up the micro environment that it creates.
But coming up around into the Mayaca cutoff, anything going on up there?
There's been some decent jacks, some decent snook in there. Redfish, you're going to work for. There's been a few sawfish caught in there in the last couple months.
So basically.
Yep.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Not
you're gonna, just like the Tippy Canoe, you're gonna work really hard for minimal return.
Gotcha. Now, how's Alligator Bay, the Port Charlotte Canals doing? Anybody got anything on them?
I'll give you crickets behind my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been some shark in your faster flowing canals. The Long Canal up O'Hara.
Right.
Has been doing well on shark.
Yeah, the Manchester, the O'Hara, all that. A lot of big black drum back there.
Yeah, a lot of big
heard
black
of some
drum.
Monster snook. Tons
big
of snook,
snook
back up in there. If you
lots
can come
of snapper.
Up, the Ackerman getting up in through there, there's a lot of snook right around the Midway bridges right now. Underneath the bridges on Midway is just a real good time for snook. Now, I haven't heard about the spillways. Anybody hearing anything?
They've been sporadic because this rain's been real inconsistent all last week. There was only a couple rainstorms, and they were super isolated. So if you can find one spillway that's flowing real heavy, there's been some really good snook and a lot of juvenile tarpon at them, but it hasn't been each spillway the way it normally should be this time of year.
Yeah, the rains are hitting one house and not the next.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's literally raining in your front yard and not your backyard. I mean, that's
really
like it was 15 years ago.
Look at the rain and pick your spillway accordingly. You can't just wait for it to rain and hit any of them like you normally can.
Yeah, you're going to have to go from one to the next to find out where the water's moving. Have you been up to Shell Creek Dam?
I haven't been up to the Shell Creek Dam. I'm trying to get up there either this week or next week. It's okay. One trip that I do want to make now that we're getting decent rain. We should start seeing a lot of snook, some juvenile tarpon up there, normally jacks, and even some bull shark all the way up there at the dam.
Cool. All right. Well, anyway.
We forgot the 20-foot holes.
Well, I was getting back to the harbor here, getting out in the middle of the harbor, because that's the kind of the last spot on our tour around is you know, marker two, marker one, the 20-foot holes. Marker two, anybody know about bait? Anything on there?
Nothing.
Nothing for
nothing.
Bait?
Every once in a while, you'll see a small pod.
Where's anybody going for greenbacks?
Been working the east side, trying to find them.
Going up and down the east side, over to Jug Creek Shoals, Devilfish?
I haven't heard of anybody hanging out at Devilfish, even. I was working around the Barge Canal there for a while. Decent. I mean, it wasn't wonderful. Perfect if you're going snapper fishing.
Right.
And even now, I mean, there's so few of it. It's there. It's decent. And then within 2 weeks, it's gone because it's the only bait we have. Everybody's hitting them.
All right. Anything? What's going on in the 20-foot hole, Robert? Marker 1, Marker 2, the middle hole, Pirate Harbor hole?
From Marker 1 all the way down to basically Pirate Harbor, you've got a ton of little sharks. A few incidental bigger ones, but the tarpon moved in there in the last 2 days. And you're going to see them, like Kale was saying earlier, around that Alligator Creek area between the reef and Alligator Creek. But they've really started to dump back in there real hard.
Yeah.
They're not free jumping. They're not rolling real heavy, but there are fish scattered all over the place if you're diligent and watching close.
I think if you want to go out and have a good day, and just bend a rod, and you don't care what you catch, the deep holes right now are the ticket.
Okay, how about gag grouper? There should be gags out there. Anybody hitting any gags?
There's a few guys catching them. You know, they caught a couple around Marker 1 and Marker 2, the Alligator Creek Reef. the edges around the perimeter of the 20-foot hole, especially on the upper side, closer towards marker one. And so, then you've got the few guys that have got their palm tree, shopping cart, whatever out there that they've got their eye spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. By palm tree or shopping cart, he means little private reefs or little bits of rubble that somebody's found that are actually holding some fish.
Mm-hmm.
Let's wrap this up.
What about Mike with his fish?
That's okay. What about tarpon? If you were going to give kind of a general tarpon thing, what would you talk about tarpon?
If I were going to go out and do it right now, honestly, I'd be bait busters, the storm swim baits, especially in like that 4 and 5 inch range. The DOA swimming mullet has started to produce a little bit more. I'm also going to take pinfish with me, and I'm going to take thread fins with me and fight off the catfish and the little sharks.
Where are you going to go?
I will start, personally, if it was me, I would start at marker.
Well, if you were somebody else, where would you go?
Anywhere.
Costa Rica.
The only spot that you didn't name on the list of where should we go fish today.
Okay. So, anyway.
Honestly, I
smart aleck. I just got that. Okay. Anyway.
I would fish that. Basically, I would probably personally work between the 20-foot hole on Alligator Creek Reef and work my way south down towards the middle 20-foot hole and then the very southern end of Pirate Harbor, looking for fish all on there, zigzagging back and forth, because I'm not hearing as much on the west side of the 20-foot hole.
I'm going to agree with everything you said, except I'm going to add a rattle trap, a 3/4 ounce rattle trap.
I was going to say, I agree with everything Robert said. I'm not leaving the dock without the rattle trap, period. I'm going to start a little different. I'm going to start at the 41 Bridge at daybreak.
Now,
and look for those tarpon rolling out there and then work my way
towards
the holes.
Daybreak till 7 o'clock or so.
Yeah,
then
eight,
I'm
going to
go and I'm going to go over to Fisherman's Village, look between Fisherman's Village and Colony Point, and by 9 o'clock I'm going to be swinging around going out to the holes.
Yep, absolutely.
That would be, I'm on your side with this one, Cale. That's where I would be. I think going out to the holes first thing, I think you're misshot at a bunch of tarpon that you could be hitting.
And, I think that Robert's on the right track with the white bait, either the pinfish or the thread fins. You're going to have to pick through the catfish. That was the big problem that we had using live bait when those tarpon were sitting between the bridges, was you couldn't get to them.
Right.
As soon as the bait hit the water, catfish, 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 catfish. Not that the artificials were much better, but you're usually trolling them and you're limiting your catfish by doing that.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm all about there. I'm just trying to, I think I found the better way to go here. Okay, so anyway, I'm just tweaking some of this to make it back to where it used to be. Yeah, I'm seeing more of what I wanted to see. Okay, anyway, anything else we got to talk about?
Well, I think we covered most of it. Mm-hmm. We didn't cover the Alligator Creek Reef very well. The spade fish and the mangrove snapper have been about the main thing going on there.
A lot of spade fish.
Everything else has been kind of incidental catches, nothing super consistent. But the spade fish and mangs have been real good. You just got to move around from spot to spot. And like you said a million times, you know, don't be afraid to move your anchor. It's not a permanent fixture. You can move it.
Well, unless you get it caught in the structure.
Well, yeah. You got to cut. If you get it caught in the structure, it's a different ballgame.
Okay. So, anyway, guys, I guess we're going to call that kind of radio fishing for this week. Whoa, that was a bit intense. I'm still looking out for the new board here. And what we're going to be doing is, this is part of our weekly fishing report. We do every week, we do an area fishing report. And we appreciate you guys listening. This is Radio Fishing, a trademark of Fish and Frank's, which is a trademark of Fish and Frank, which is a trademark of mine. So, anyway, they cannot be reproduced or rebroadcast in any form, shape, weight, color, size, shape, or model number without my express permission, written permission. So, anyway, Fish and Frank's and Radio Fishing, and we really hope you tune back in. We've got some other shows coming up this week. We're going to end up tarpon thing, kind of a July tarpon fishing. We've got some interviews with Mike and Jeff. We're going to talk about what's been going on with them. We got a whole bunch of stuff coming on this week. Any last thing you guys want to go through?
I think we covered it pretty well.
Okay, well, this is Fish and Frank in the chair. That's Robert across from me and Captain Kales in the corner
Hot seat.
The hot seat there, the corner chair.
I kind of like it.
The big bulbed mic. So, yes. I still get over there looking at it. I'm like, okay. Anyway, so we appreciate you guys listening. We will hopefully tune in again on next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.